Acknowledging Your Anger, Part 3. Help! I'm being got at. We've already noticed that the prophet Jonah had a number of reasons underlying his anger. The first of these was a blocked goal. Jonah wanted God to destroy the Ninevites, those people who lived in Assyria's capital city. Jonah was from Israel, and Assyria was his country's main enemy at the time. His goal and greatest desire was to see the Ninevite people obliterated. Then they would no longer be a threat to his beloved Israel. But God's ways are not always our ways. And God decided to show compassion to the repentant people of Nineveh. Jonah's desire to see the Ninevites wiped out has been blocked, and he responds in anger. Yet, we can see other reasons for Jonah's anger. Reason number 2 is feeling threatened or insecure. The person who trusts God can be confident that the matter of their eternal security has been taken care of once and for all, and it's firmly rooted in the truths of the Bible. Knowing and believing these truths, however, doesn't make us immune to feeling threatened from time to time. The prophet Jonah seemed to know what this felt like when he responded angrily to God. God gave Jonah a message of judgment to proclaim to the people of Nineveh, and Jonah was reluctant to do this. One of the reasons was that Jonah knew what God is like: gracious, compassionate, slow to get angry, and full of love. We read about these things in Jonah 4 too. You can imagine Jonah saying to himself, "I might have known that God would act in accordance with his character and spare Nineveh. So now I look a real fool, having preached a message of destruction. No one will ever take me seriously again. I'll be the laughing stock of the whole country when news of this gets out. In fact, my life won't be worth living." In other words, Jonah's credibility as a prophet was under threat. All he can do, or so he thinks, is to lash out in anger. Perhaps this appears to give him some element of control in what he sees as a complete mess. Do you have any sympathy with Jonah's possible feelings of insecurity? Do you think this gives him the right to be angry? Now, here's a more personal question. To what extent do you think that feeling threatened or insecure contributes to your anger? How might you answer God if he asked you, "Is it right for you to be angry?" Sometimes when we feel threatened, we respond angrily to those closest to us by throwing out the question, "Don't you care?" By doing this, we're diverting the problem from ourselves onto the other person. In effect, we're saying that the problem isn't with us, it's with someone else, and they need to do something about it. Sometimes we even find ourselves shouting that question at God. Ever done that? One person in the Bible who did this was Martha. In Luke 10:40, Martha is showing hospitality to Jesus and his disciples, and she is not at all happy that she has been left to do all the work by herself while her sister sits listening to Jesus' teaching. Listen to what Martha said to Jesus. "Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me." What Martha was basically saying was, "Lord, don't you care?" In that moment, she doubts Jesus' care and concern for her. Her false belief that Jesus didn't care shaped her thinking and aroused an angry response from her. Have you ever flung the question, "Don't you care?" at another person in an attempt to relieve your own anger by trying to make him or her take responsibility for the way you feel? If you have, it might be helpful to ask yourself the following questions. 1. What do I hope to accomplish when I allow feelings of insecurity to prompt an angry response from me? 2. Could my anger be prompted by other emotions, for example, feelings of fear or a desire for control? 3. Do I have a tendency to blame other people, including God, and to direct my anger towards them? Right thinking and truthful self-talk are vitally important if we're going to make appropriate emotional responses to events and circumstances in our lives. This is something we need to practice, as it involves the continual reprogramming of our minds, as Romans 12:2 tells us. Don't copy the behaviour and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. This brings our thoughts back into line with the truth of God's word. I've discovered that a significant hindrance to truthful thinking is the tendency to play things over and over again in our minds. Take Sue and Barbara, for example. Sue is one of Barbara's work colleagues, and she recently made a careless remark about the quality of Barbara's work. She seemed to imply that Barbara wasn't really up to the job. And if that weren't enough, she'd heard a rumour that the company they both work for was considering laying off people in the near future. Barbara tried to laugh it off at the time, but as the day wore on, she kept having niggling little thoughts that disturbed her peace of mind. She started asking herself the following questions. What if Sue's right about the possibility of layoffs? Where will I find another job that suits me so well? And why did she have to make that comment about my work? Does she not know how much effort I put into doing a good job? Despite trying to focus on the work she had to get through, Barbara found herself going back again and again to what Sue had said. It's like constantly replaying an audio track as she allowed her mind to go over and over what had been said. By the end of the day, Sue's remarks had grown to gigantic proportions in Barbara's mind, so that she could think of little else, and to cap it all, her emotions were all over the place. One of these emotions was anger at Sue, because Barbara felt threatened by what she said. Now, could any of this have been avoided by applying biblical principles? Let's look at this now. The starting point is Philippians 4:8, which urges us to think about those things which are true. The verse says, "Fix your thoughts on what is true, and honourable, and right, and pure, and lovely, and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise." First of all, is what Sue said true? Is Barbara's work below standard? Are there ways in which it could be improved? If so, it might be an idea for Barbara to take Sue's comment on board, and rather than feeling threatened by it, allow this to spur her on to make positive changes in her work practices. Is what Sue said untrue? Does she know for certain that the company is considering layoffs, or is her imagination being fed by unsubstantiated gossip? Even if layoffs are likely, who's to say Barbara will be one of them? When Philippians 4:8 says to fix our thoughts on what is true, this includes not fixing them on what is not true. We all need to train ourselves to think what is true. This is a very small but practical example of what it means to renew our minds by bringing our thinking into line with biblical principles. In this section, we've considered how feeling threatened or insecure can be a possible reason for anger. Here's something you might want to think about. The antidote for insecurity is to recognize how precious we are to our Heavenly Father. He set His love upon us before the world was made. He sent His Son to die for us. He formed us in the womb. He has watched over every step of our lives to the present time and will continue doing so to the end. We could not be more secure. That's reality. Our feelings of insecurity are rooted in unreality. Stay with me for part 4. It's not fair.